Yes, we're here again. It's the Sunday before Pentecost, 3 days after what we call Ascension, when Jesus leaves this earthly life for up there. I mean, we usually think that Jesus went up. It doesn't say exactly that in the original language, but we say Jesus went up to heaven. You remember seeing all the paintings of the feet disappearing into the clouds. And to be honest, us Protestants, we have always kind of referred to everything as kind of three layers, right? There's heaven, there's earth, and there's hell. The sky is heaven, this is earth, hell is down there. We don't, however, well, at least most of us don't believe that you can board a spaceship and fly off into the sky and reach heaven, or that we can dig deep into the ground enough to reach hell, do we? I don't know. Maybe heaven is a destination spot for you, but the Ascension story for me is not so much about how Jesus left, but what he said before he left. I mean, the Bible can't agree. I love the fact that all the endings to the gospel end differently. Matthew ends with the Great Commission. Nothing about Jesus disappearing or ascending. Mark's gospel has Jesus received into heaven. Luke, which we've read today, talks about Jesus disappearing. But then when you read Acts, which most people believe is written by the same writer, Acts tells a completely different version and adds two men in white robes appearing out of nowhere. John doesn't even mention it. He just says there are many more things than have been written here. So we don't have an agreement from anyone. It's fascinating to me that the stories are so different. But even more fascinating is how important those details are to people. I'm told that if you go to the top of the Mount of Olives, there is a shrine built, and it has been rebuilt and destroyed and torn down and built again, and lots of things have happened to it, but there is a spot there standing where if you go inside the shrine, there is a box framed up that has a rock in it that has what looks like a footprint in the middle. And it is believed that by many, that footprint is the right footprint of Jesus. And it is believed that the stone that had the left footprint has been taken off and hidden somewhere. People travel there today to stand in that small building and touch the stone, and you can even place your foot on the stone to see what it felt like to stand where Jesus stood. Now, I'm honest, I probably would go look at the stone myself and touch it and see it and feel it. Some believe that that's the very spot where Jesus will return someday. Now, I believe the story of the Ascension. I believe it's important for us today for a few reasons, but I must admit, I don't think where or how Jesus left this world is a matter that we all have to agree upon. If you believe this stone is the imprint of Jesus' foot, that's okay with me. And I hope if you don't agree with that, it's okay with me too. If you believe Jesus flew up into a cloud, that's okay with me. And if you don't think that's the way Jesus left this earth, that's okay with me too. Sometimes I think what would make a real impact on my sermon or make you listen to my sermon more is if I could just disappear at the end. Don't count on that at the end of the service. What is important and what we need to pay attention to here is what Jesus said before he left this earth. What Jesus spoke to the disciples and to us today. First, he told them that he opened their minds to the scripture. I think that's really important for us to remember even today. Now, did Jesus tell them that they would know all that there was to know and that they would understand all that there was to understand? No. He even told them that there were some things that they weren't to know. But he said it was up to them to read the scripture, to study the scripture, and to believe and understand each their own way. I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget the importance of our scripture. No one person has more understanding than another. Sure, there are those who spend a whole lot more time studying and trying to understand it better and translating it from the original, and that's okay. And it's important for us to listen to one another's ideas and thoughts, but it is up to each one of us individually to listen and to share and to decide for ourselves all that we need to know about the scripture. And I need to be okay with what you decide to believe, and you need to be okay with what others decide to believe. I was reading one writer's thoughts, and he said as a child, he had to write like 100 times in his classroom, "I will believe in the ascension. I will believe in the ascension. I will believe in the ascension." Because he had told his teacher that he just didn't think Jesus flew away into the sky. He said, "To this day, I still don't believe it, and you can make me write it 1,000 times and I won't change my mind." There are times when we really try hard to change people's minds, don't we? Especially about scripture. And I'll be honest, there have been times when I have had things explained to me in a way that has changed my mind about scriptures. And I've seen them in a different light, but it has been my decision to change my thoughts. And that's what God gave us that day. The right to decide how to interpret the scripture ourselves. Then Jesus tells the disciples and us that we are to be witnesses, that it would begin in Jerusalem and then it would spread. How do we claim to be witnesses to something that we didn't see firsthand? It's called hearsay on all the legal shows that I watch. I wasn't there. But goodness knows, being present doesn't stop us from sharing stories, does it? Especially this day and time. The grapevine travels pretty quickly in our environment today. We are able to tell what we've experienced. I believe the scripture told us how great are those who haven't seen and yet believe. Jesus told the disciples to wait until they had received the Spirit. The story that we'll talk about next week. And perhaps that receiving of the Spirit is where the witnessing becomes important. We're not called to go out into this world and talk about ourselves. We're not told to go out and talk on our own. We're told to go and allow God to work through us with the help of the Holy Spirit. Some of us are like Moses. We don't talk so good. And some of us say, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that because it's just not me. You know what? It's not supposed to be me. It's supposed to be God through me. And that's what Jesus was telling us that day. It's not about knocking on doors and repeating a script. It's about being in relationship with people and allowing God to use you in the midst of relationships. I remember as a youth being in a pizza place with some of my friends after a football game on Friday night. And a man comes up and is trying to witness to us. And we told him, sir, we're from First Baptist in Midwest City. We all go to church. We're part of the youth group. We're very active. And he couldn't stop and adjust his script. He just kept going through it. So we listened kindly. But I believe that we can't be a good witness to people that we don't take the time to know and care about. Witnessing is relational. And it's about allowing God to speak through the way that you live and the things that you do. And then Jesus blessed them. That's an important part of this story. Jesus blesses each and every one of us, not just then, but now. Many people out there, and probably many of you here today, need to know that Jesus blesses what you do. How often do you feel like you're doing God's work here on this earth? Maybe you feel like the only time you're doing God's work is when you're here or when you're volunteering to do something specific. Next week, many of you are going to go out and do all kinds of work for people in this community. Is that doing God's work? Helping others in need is always what Jesus would do. We spend maybe 2 or 3 hours here each week out of 168 hours. That leaves many more hours to do God's work. I asked you to really think about all that you do for God's kingdom here on earth. Probably a lot more than you think. Mary Ellen listed so many of them today, simple ways that we're doing God's work here. In the Acts scripture, the story ends with two men robed in white who tell the disciples, stop looking up. I really like that part of the story because how often do we stand around looking for ways to do God's work instead of getting busy? I sometimes feel like those who need to have an exact spot where Jesus stood, those who really need to know the exact details, those who spend a lot of time searching are avoiding doing what really needs to be done. They're looking up and holding on to Jesus instead of letting Jesus go be where he needed to be at the right hand of God. And knowing that he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, to be all that we need. I encourage you to spend some time this week really paying attention to ways that you do God's work here each and every day, in the way you treat people with kindness, the way you share sorrow with others, the way you help those in need, When you make a phone call to check in with someone. When you offer someone a ride. When you share a smile. Or when you write a note. When you share a meal. Being in relationship. Showing people God's relationship with you is how we live our lives as witnesses. May we recognize our responsibility. And may we also recognize that God blesses us for our service. And that you are blessed each and every day by your Creator. Amen and amen.